Well, friends, I want to continue to look at our series that looks at the life of Abraham as we're moving into this new year. And Abraham, again, a man who walked by faith as a role model and also a cautionary tale for all of us who desire to walk by faith. In the letter to the Hebrews, and again, this is not where we're going to go today. We're going to go into Genesis 13 and 14, Genesis being the very first book of the Bible. I'm going to talk first about the letter to the Hebrews, which is nearly at the end of the Bible. In Hebrews 11, it talks about faith and the beauty of faith, but also the challenge of faith. It says in verse 1, it says, Hebrews 11, 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." And this is so important for us because we are show me people, aren't we? We want to see how things are going to work. We want to see all the mysteries. We don't want to have mysteries. Mysteries are difficult for us. We want to walk by sight, and yet we are invited instead to walk by faith. We can try to walk by sight, and it will cause us to struggle. It will cause us to stumble because it doesn't work that way. Not in this world. Not in this world. It doesn't work that way for us. A little later in that letter to the Hebrews, the author says this in verse 6. He says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Now, sometimes that's a troubling verse for us. I want to come back around to it in just a moment, but it's troubling sometimes because we think, well, I do want to please God, but if I don't have faith, I won't be able to please God. Well, if you have faith, then you're already on the way. And I want to suggest that verse, that not able to please God, is also a little bit about you're not going to be able to live fully to the potential God has for you. That as God, the Creator, looks at us, each and every one of us as individuals, as we are able to live by faith, we are getting closer and closer to the ideal He has created us to be. And as we continue to struggle, when temptation comes my way, Annette, you know, we always think of all these awful sins that we do. I think one of the more subtle sins that all of us struggle with is that sin to want to control so much that we squeeze out that ability to rest in Him and to find the beauty of faith in Him. And as we squeeze that out and we miss out on the beauty of faith in Him, then I think that's part of what the Hebrews letter is trying to say, that it's we're missing the mark when we don't. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Again, there's that idea, that last phrase, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Those who are able to walk by faith are going to receive a reward. Now, it may not be a monetary reward. It may not be a physical reward. It may not be long life, or it may not be many children and grandchildren and all these things. All these things that we in our worldly minds think, these are going to be the evidence of blessing. But there may be other blessings that God brings when we truly, earnestly seek to walk by faith. And this is where our look at Abraham is so instructive for us. We're going to jump in here before we go on. But before I jump into Abraham, I want to say that what I'm getting at here is an undergirding, a knowledge, okay? Something that goes deep within us that says, I truly believe in all things, no matter what comes, that God has got my back, okay? So that's my definition of faith today. God has got my back. You like it? I like it too. That made me smile. But as Abraham went through life, it was a challenge. And we saw that last week, right? We saw that disaster of faith last week. When and it says so in the chapter 12 we were looking at. That when he went to Egypt with his wife and his family and all that went down there, and he looked at his wife, and she is so beautiful, and he says, honey, you're so beautiful, right? So you're so beautiful, I'm going to let you go and be in the king's harem instead of being my wife. Yeah, what kind of a knucklehead are you, Abraham? What's that about? Fear. that God had my back yesterday, but today I don't think so. I'm afraid that I'm going to get killed if I admit that you're my wife. So I'm going to lie about it, and I'm going to give you over to them. And that's okay, because I'm going to live. That's fear. It's not believing God had his back. And then as we move into chapter 13, chapter 14, where we're going to go today, we're going to see, and I could break this up into different messages, but they really are all the same message, is that God has your back, and that we need to live our life with that reality, because that will set us free for to be able to be who God wants us to be. Okay, there's going to be three main points. I'm going to touch on three brief stories, and I'm going to ask you, if you don't get all the message here today, go back into your Bible and read it yourself. We're going to begin in chapter 13, and I'll just give you a real quick overview. They come back out of Egypt. Abram and Sarai and their nephew Lot, they come back into the area of Canaan, and they're doing great. They're prospering, their flocks are growing, they're gaining new people to come work for their flocks, their company business is just going nuts, it's great. They're doing fantastic, God is blessing, they are prospering, and so much so that Abram and Lot's herds and herders are beginning to get in each other's way. There's just not room in this town for the both of us. And it's not a bad thing. They love each other, but there's just the resources that they need are not there. And so there is a point that comes that they have to decide they're going to separate their ways. I love you, Lot, but you need to move farther away so that your flocks can continue to prosper. I need to be separated from you so that my flocks can continue to prosper. We need to just spread out. And this is what happens. Abram here, by faith, is freed to be gracious. Abram says this to Lot, "Let there not be any quarreling between you and me, between my herds and your herders, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company, and if you go left, I will go right. And if you go right, I will go left." Now, as you're reading that, we're just reading a story about these two dudes who are having to figure out how to make their business work. But really, what's here is Abraham seems to have gotten back on track. He knows that God has his back, and he is able to say, "Lot, you choose. You choose. Because whatever you choose, I'm trusting God is going to make it work." You know, this is hard for us, isn't it? Because we tend to want to plan our stuff. Lot looked out and he saw this land. It was great off this one direction. The whole plain of Jordan towards Zoar was well watered like the garden of the Lord. And so he said, "I'll take that over there." And he moved on down towards this place called Sodom. More on that later. Not today. More on that later. But Abram could have insisted on his due. He could have said, "Hey, Lot, we can't both live here. I'm the older. I'm the one who took care of you. I'm your elder. I'm the one who stood up for you when your father died. I'm the one who has led you to this place. So I will take mine. You get the leftovers." And Lot would have probably said, "Fine, uncle, that's great." But instead of saying, "I'm going to get the best. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to take what is mine." You know, sometimes we do this, don't we? We get messed up wanting what we think is due us. Maybe you're in the place of grieving a loved one and you're going through the inheritance and there's this one item that both you and everybody else in the family wants. What do you do? Or maybe you're that person who has been hurt by somebody else and you are waiting, just waiting for the day when they come and confess and apologize. Because you know what? An apology is due you after what they did. You know, when we go about life saying, "I'm going to get what I am due, and I'm going to make sure and not be happy until it happens," we're going to be unhappy people most all the time because we don't get what we're due. When that person comes up and steps in front of you in line, "That's not right. That's my place in line." And during COVID, you get into a fight. You know, it's what we do. Is it worth it? Abram is able to say, I can be gracious to you, Lot. Because why? I know God has got my back. And he's free. Instead of struggling with what he's due, he's free to be gracious, walking in a different way. And what a beautiful world we live in when we walk amongst people who are free to be gracious. There's something powerful in that, folks, and that's what our invitation is. That's how we please God when we begin to walk in that kind of freedom. Second thing we see as the story continues, and it kind of transitions into chapter 14. It's a weird transition, but I'll just do it because it really does talk about the same thing. Here in chapter 14, we see there are these political alliances going on. There are neighboring kingdoms in the region. The short version of the story is this, is that there are these four kings who ally themselves together, and they're going around rampaging through the area, taking everyone's stuff. Finally, they're confronted by another alliance of five different kings, including the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is where Lot lives. And these four raiding kings come, confront the five kings, beat them, and then scoop up all their people and lots of possessions and take back off going to where they live. Including the possessions and people they take are Lot, his family, and all of his stuff. It's a weird story. But again, look at it from this perspective. How does Abraham respond? In verse 14 and 15, it says, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out to the 318 trained men. I love this. There are 318 exactly. Not 317, not 319. Abram has 318 men under his employment. Now, probably most of them are shepherds and what have you, but he's got a lot of dudes on his side. And he says, okay, guys, get ready. We're going to war. Okay, so the 318 trained men who were born in his household, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan, that's up in the northern regions. During the night, Abram divided his men, his 318 men, to attack, and he routed the four kings' armies, and he pursued them as far as Horeb, north of Damascus. That's a long way away. And what he does is he rescues Lot and all their stuff, and he begins to bring it all back. Here we see, again, this is God reveal, or Abram able out of his trust, knowing that God has his back, that he is free now to be daring. And I say that, that doesn't mean that we have to somehow muster an army when we hear of that need. Although there are some here who probably wouldn't mind mustering armies. That's probably not your call. But when we hear about a need around us, how do we respond? Is our first question, well, how much would it cost? Do I have the time for that? Maybe someone else is going to do it. But this is the call for all of us to say, when we see a need come across our path, is it not maybe God inviting us to meet that need? What holds us back? Fear that it's going to cost too much? It's going to require too much of me? When you hear that we're going through transitions here at New Life Church and we could use a few more people on our tech team, you say, someone else is going to do that? It's not for me. When you hear about the Sunday school teachers meeting, you say, okay, someone else is going to do that? It's not for me. When you hear about some of our youth activities and what our youth needs are, do we say, that's somebody else? Or do we say, here I am, God, use me. You've created me. You've prepared me. I can do this. It may cost. You know, Abram didn't have to go running off into the night with all his men. Would it cost him? Sure. Would he come back? He didn't know. Would he miss his favorite show if he committed to helping out on Wednesday nights? Yes. Oh my gosh, there's a cost. And yet he went. And yet he went. Why? Because knowing God had his back, he could say, I will dare to do. And God will use him. And God rescues Lot. and not just rescues Lot, but raises Abram's profile in the eyes of all the foreign kings around him. Then the transition continues. It's weird, but there's a weird little story here that goes on in the midst of this story. And we see that by recognizing that God has our back, it also frees us then to really honor God completely the way God wants to be honored. We'll see this here, that it goes on in verse 18 of that same chapter 14, where it says, there is then a fellow named Melchizedek. This is a weird part of the story, and if I had all day, I would spend all day. I really would, because this is a weird part of the story that I'll just drop it in here, because he just gets dropped in. Hadn't been heard of before, won't really be heard of again until that letter to the Hebrews. Then he becomes a big player in that story 2,000 years after he's already gone. Weird, but he just jumps into the story here. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. When I say bread and wine, what do you think of? Yeah, I mean, it's just a weird thing. It's just dropped in here. We hadn't heard that before. All of a sudden, this guy, we don't know where he comes from, Salem. Is that Jerusalem? Or is that just Salem representing peace, which is the Hebrew word for peace, shalom? Melchizedek comes, he's bearing bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. Wait a minute, where's that coming from? I thought Abram was following the Most High God. And he is a priest of the Most High God. He blesses Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praised be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Everything that Abram received by going and rescuing is not bounty for him, but he recognizes that now this priest of the Most High God comes, and what's he do? He responds to God with an act of faith that he is going to give a tenth of what he has as an offering to God. This is really the first kind of a introduction of the idea of tithing in the midst of the Bible. It's the first story, and it's kind of woven in with this weird story of Melchizedek, but it all has to do with Abram's faith, because what causes us, when we hear something like the word tithe, we all kind of, ooh, there it is. You know, what is it that causes us fear of making an offering to God, of presenting, maybe even going so far to say, I'm going to be obedient and give up to a tenth of what I earn? What is it that causes me fear? I won't have enough. If I do that, I won't have enough. But if we believe that God has our back, and if we believe that God is the one who provides, and that our offering, our tithe, is merely a way of demonstrating that all of it belongs to God, I'm only giving a tenth back. And if that tenth is a representation that I'm not trusting myself to provide all I need, I am trusting God to provide all I need. It is a demonstration of faith that without which we will not know the freedom to be generous, and the freedom to honor God completely. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can go about life and saying, I'm going to trust God with this, I'm going to trust God with this prayer, I'm going to trust God with this situation, I'm going to trust God with this difficult person. But quite often, how we interact with our finances really does say what we really think about if God cares and if God really provides for me. And so it becomes that. We are then free to honor God as we grow in this faith. And here it is, we find that we are able to please God. I'm going to come back to that verse, because I always come back to this verse. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways to submit to Him or to acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight. This is the invitation. This is the invitation to move in a way that allows us this freedom. And then through this faith, to experience the fullness. In John 10:10, Jesus said this, that the thief comes. You guys know this, right? The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? And we think of that as the enemy who comes in and he's trying to just kill you and take all the joy out of your life and destroy your life, and he is. And how do we combat that? Through this gift, this invitation to faith, because even Jesus said it, I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. What is the path forward into abundance? And I'm not saying a lot of stuff. What is the abundance of life that God is inviting us to? It's only going to be found as we walk on this walk of faith, where we begin to believe that he has our back. And we begin to act in life in a way that reflects that belief. Free to be gracious. Free to honor God. Free to be daring about investing in things that God opens up for us. Meeting needs that God shares with us. That we as a church become something maybe a little bit different than the comfortable place of just coming and sitting, but we become an active part of God's solution in our world. God wants us to be that we only have to do is give ourselves to him. So, Father, I thank you that you have invited us to come and to begin to taste and see not only that what you have for us is good, but that, God, that we can receive even greater, that sense of abundance in life, the fullness in life, the joy of life, God, as we come to rest in you. So, God, help us. Help us with our unbelief. Help us with overcome those fears that hold us back. Those areas of control that say to us that I need to keep enough of mine or else I will be left out. Father, free us to trust you more and to allow our lives to be presented more completely and fully that you might work in us in ways that we may never be able to understand or imagine. We thank you, God. Meet us here as we offer ourselves to you, preparing for this week ahead. In Jesus' name.